Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? It's another Thursday, which means another guest. And I'm excited to have this guest on. We recorded this podcast episode right when uncertainty hit, right when anxiety was going full force, right when we were starting to get all of the stay-at-home orders with Corona and all of that, and just trying to go day by day and, you know, feeling really anxious and having a whole lot of anxiety. And that's what we talk about, is anxiety and how you can leverage your anxiety, how being in the present alleviates anxiety, that your anxiety is showing you something you get to heal, and that it's okay if you feel anxious, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel a little off. Like, we're in an interesting time, and like I posted the other day on Instagram, I've become pro surfer of my emotions, just riding those waves, because one moment I'm like, yeah, I'm on top of the world, and the next moment I'm like, oh shit, oh my god, life is ending, did I make the wrong choice, did I, and then it's back, oh yeah, I can do this, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can have that conversation, I can do that podcast, I can launch my website, blah, blah, and then go from there. Like, it's just riding the waves of emotion, and that's one powerful tool, is learning to ride the waves of your emotion. Understanding you have emotions, you have feelings, but they don't define you. They only define you if you choose to let them define you. Let me say that again, because I feel like that's a mic drop moment. Your emotions and feelings don't define you unless you let it define you. And once you let something define you, then you take ownership of it and you're like, I am this. Cool. You are your anxiety. You are your fear. You are your overwhelm. But is that supporting you into shift forward? I bet you have plenty of tools and tactics you can use to be doing things to push you out of feeling your anxiety, out of feeling like doomsday, out of whatever it is that is a negative feeling that you don't want to dwell there anymore. You are capable of doing that. You'll get more tools in this episode. And there are more tools that I've said on my podcast that you could use, but also one of them being, also allow yourself to feel your feelings. So as you're riding your waves of emotion right now, just feel them. See them as clouds going by, cars going by, when we could sit and watch cars drive by, you know, dreaming of being those two little lady sitting on her porch just watching the cars drive by as you drive by. You know, has anyone experienced that? Just me? Okay, cool. And with that, guys, let us begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Built Brave. So I'm excited for today's guest. I've gotten to know her recently. We met at an event called Still Standing, and that was a fun and interesting event. So Miss Sarah, can you take it away and let people know who you are and what you do?
Of course. So my name is Sarah DeGeorge. I'm a digital marketing specialist. I try to focus in on small business growth, digital strategy, public relations, social media, marketing, and management. I kind of just run the entire digital marketing gamut in one way or another with my clients. And beyond that, I'm very much so interested in animal welfare and rehabilitation. That's just my little side spiel of something that I enjoy that has nothing to do with what I do in my work in entrepreneurship and freelancing.
No, I think that's something good to note too, is like, you could have outside hobbies as well. Like, your work doesn't necessarily define you, and you can have fun elsewhere. So So yeah.
Exactly. My whole neighborhood knows I really love animal welfare as I go out and I make sure all of our neighborhood cats are trapped, neutered, and released. And vaccinated. So my whole neighborhood knows that I'm just the crazy cat lady of West Philadelphia. Another little tidbit about me.
Well, I mean, that happens. I mean, cats multiply very quickly. I grew up, my grandparents, their farm, they had a lot of farm cats. So it was very interesting every spring, how many litters there were and what type of kittens we had and, you know, if there was new blood that somehow made its way into the herd or not. So
Very, very quick aside, because obviously I know the anybody listening, but the cats that you saw earlier on our video, they were barn cats that were found in my old neighbor back in my hometown's barn. So I have two barn cats of myself. So there you go. The story continues with barn cats.
So Sarah, I know we talked about your story with anxiety and stuff. Can you share more on that and how you navigated working entrepreneurship and doing all of that and still maintaining your mental health?
Yeah, of course. So I was actually thinking about this and just like built brave and just anything like that. And I feel like my story is almost like a long game. I've always been an anxious child. When I was a kid, I cried on camera on my first birthday party because I was so afraid of everyone singing to me. I quit sports teams because I was afraid I wasn't good enough and like the anxiety would get the best of me. And like maybe in I could have done something. And it's just like my whole life has just kind of, I've carried a lot of anxiety with me. And that's also kind of come into play with entrepreneurship as well. And I hope that it resonates with other entrepreneurs who might be listening. You know, when I was in high school, I was anxious about what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do in college. And then when I was in college, I was anxious about what I wanted to do after college. And that anxiety just came to such a head prior to me graduating. I was applying to jobs, 9 to 5, the usual, and I was not feeling good. I had probably compartmentalized a lot of stuff from my childhood, from my teen years, never addressed it, and all of a sudden I became really sick. I had to go to the hospital. I had to get ultrasounds done because I was in chronic pain. I was in bed a lot. I couldn't eat anything. I was eating boiled chicken and rice for the longest time. I had no answers. And to this day, I don't have an answer, but I'm almost positive it was just my anxiety. But in that time, my anxiety was also doubled by the fact that I needed a job and I could not attend any of these 9 to 5, you know, interviews or move forward with them. So I felt like an absolute failure. So then I started to think, okay, you have a communications degree. You have PR background, like what you have a writing background, what can you do with that? So then I decided, why don't I start freelancing? Which then of course subsequently led to then the next anxiety of like, how do I get this started? How do I find clients? And I had to push through so much anxiety to even send out emails to potential, you know, Craigslist ads for just like a contract position, writing, so on and so forth. And I think, again, it's one of those things where I consistently never felt like I was being brave in any of those like email instances. It was just more of a long game where I could like look back and be like, okay, there wasn't just one moment where I was actually feeling brave. I think it was just like continuously building up and saying yes to more things and building up that confidence over time that has kind of led me on my entrepreneurial journey. So that's kind of like a quick story about how anxiety has played into my one, just my entire life. I don't think that there's like one set time where I was like, oh, that's where anxiety started. I think I just was like out of the womb, an anxious person. Just like I said, from crying at my first birthday party, because I was just so, and just at any moment, I never wanted to be looked at as somebody that just, I think it's hard because I never wanted to look at somebody that like gave up on things because for the sake of giving up, it was just so hard for people to understand that I was just super anxious. So finally, when I had this moment to like finally stick with something, I was like, okay, I have to, you know, maybe this is like a moment in which I'm being brave. But again, I didn't know it was a moment of being brave until, you know, like we're talking about it now. And I could say like in hindsight, oh yeah, deciding to go freelancing when I felt like an absolute failure because I was sick and bedridden at the age of like 24, you know, was, you know, actually a pretty brave move, but I didn't think about it then. So that's just a quick kind of synopsis of my life. So.
Well, it's interesting because people don't necessarily believe that they're being brave in those moments, like hindsight 2020. The whole reason I chose brave as the second word in the podcast was because I had so many people come up to me and be like, you're so brave, you're so brave. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, what the F are you looking at? Because internally, I'm like, I'm a mess, like hot mess over in here. I'm just like not feeling brave, all of the anxiety. But then they reflect back to me my own story. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. I see that. But I also was like, well, I just decided to do it and I just did it. It's kind of like you decide.
Exactly.
And just go.
I know. It's like sometimes you just don't even think, like you do it because in the moment it's like the only thing you have. And with life, you just need to continuously move forward and you need to make those decisions that don't really seem like they. Not like they don't matter, they're big, but you don't necessarily know that they're like pushing past things. Like I didn't think like, oh, I'm rising above my anxiety right now. I just know I'm an anxious person. And especially it's one of those things where kind of when you're freelancing or an entrepreneur, it's kind of like sometimes you can hide behind, you know, the scenes and nobody really knows your anxiety and those things, but then you know. So it's like I'm sitting there like panicking as I'm sending out these first emails without much of a portfolio at that point. But like I don't think about it until now where I'm like, oh yeah, that was pretty brave. And I guarantee you that there's gonna be something that happens in the next, you know, year that I'm not gonna think is brave until subsequent years later. And I think that's just kind of how life happens, especially for people that tend to be on like the more anxious side of the spectrum, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also like with people being brave, it's like when you do those things and you look back in hindsight, or even if you're preparing to do those steps, it's, you're living in the moment. And when you're living in the moment, anxiety can't live there because you're just like, oh, I'm gonna go do the thing and whatever will be will be. But I wanted to back up in your story, which I thought was really interesting, and what a lot of people don't do is like you were feeling like a failure at a time where everyone has their quarter life crisis, because you know somehow we're supposed to magically know things by the time we graduate college, let alone being 18 year olds before going to college. But you flipped the mindsets to opportunistic and seeing like what's the opportunity be here for you, even though you feel like a complete failure, which a lot of people don't actually do.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And it's something like, again, and we can get into a little bit more how like that wasn't necessarily the last time in which I felt just like an absolute failure. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's one of those things with opportunity, you know, and kind of looking back to that moment in time where, you know, I felt like such a failure, turning it into an opportunity was really hard. And I will get to the fact that that wasn't the only time in which I felt like a failure in since then, and how I continuously, I think it is also just entrepreneurial in its own sense. Like I feel like even with the anxiety and feeling like a failure, I just had to do something. And again, like I feel like that little mantra of like, you just have to do something is what has carried me through some of like the darker moments in my life, whether it was that or, you know, subsequently in later years and more in more recent times, also feeling like I had no future, whether it was in my career and my own life, and you know, just kind of trying to flip it to like, okay, well, this is what can I learn from this opportunity,
which is something really important, especially now during this time while we're recording it. It's in the middle of the quarantine because
of our friend Corona here. And a lot of people are, you know, we were talking about earlier about like that fear-based and of all of that. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, well, there's opportunity here. There's something here for us to learn. Maybe it's releasing control over things we can't control.
No, I was gonna say I completely agree. I think this moment right here is definitely a test for sure, because there are just things like we can't control what new regulations come out tomorrow as to how we're supposed to approach, you know, the next days, weeks, months, who knows. But it's just like trying to find ways to remain, you know, grounded but also innovative, I think are what's really going to show like that we do, you know, a lot of people are truly, you know, brave, you know, whether it's, I have, you know, individuals who unfortunately might not be making a lot of income right now, you know, maybe they come up with something really awesome. Maybe they touch on a passion project that they just haven't had time to, and it takes off. There's so many ways in which to turn something really, that's like a really not so great situation. And hopefully, you know, come out the other end stronger. And even if things don't work out the way that you want them, you come with all this knowledge that you didn't have at point A. By point B, you have, you know, you learn something, and that might be the silver lining, is just the knowledge that you come out with. So,
which is also important, because it's a time where it's like forcing a lot of people to reflect on like if they're happy, like what they're wanting to do, what that looks like, you know. Self-care, I know, is a massive thing. A lot of people put it on the back burner, especially entrepreneurs and having their own business and doing all of that. Or even if they're climbing the corporate ladder, whatever it may be, like they put self-care off on this little box that like only people who have money can do this or whatever can do this, when actually you need self-care to live, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to show up as the best version of you.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of touches into the next kind of like period, if you don't mind me getting into.
Go for it.
Where I neglected self-care for the sake of keeping busy, and then finally keep getting some momentum in my freelancing. So the first time, the fear of like, you know, and being brave was, oh, I have to find my first few clients. Well, now I have a good list of clients, but now I'm keeping busy, just, you know, and making and like add, saying yes to projects and, you know, adding clients to my list, even though I was probably definitely neglecting my self-care. And I enjoyed working with all these people. Everybody was wonderful. I didn't have like bad clients, but I took on too much and I neglected my self-care, which is very important. Like you said, whether you're climbing the corporate ladder, whether you are one person, you know, freelancer, whether you have own a small business, like self-care is key for everybody. So I, you know, took that next step, and actually being brave was in this instance, as you'll hear, is about more of like in a state of decreasing instead of increasing. So all of a sudden I woke up with severe pain. Again, my life is just like, why do I have these pains? There's pains and I have no reason why. I actually ended up getting shingles because I was just not sleeping. I was putting in so many hours for all of my clients, taking one hat off and putting another on, you know, based on who my client was, what their sector was. And it was just too much. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating well. And, you know, then my body just thought like, oh yeah, I should get shingles. And then after that, I didn't learn. And then I remember I was out with my friends that night, and then I came home. It was in January, and I had a full on breakdown. Like, did not sleep for days, was crying, was hyperventilating. I had to live with my parents for a little while, which not that many people know, because obviously it's, you know, I would show up again and people would be like, oh, are you okay? And I'd be like, yeah, nobody knew where I was, you know, whether, except for those that were close to me. And it was just the realization at that point, like, I need help. So I had to I started going to therapy, which is something I hadn't done in a while. I started taking walks again in the morning, and this took months because I was definitely just like in a catatonic state. Like, I had to drive to my boyfriend's work just to sit there and embarrassingly cry. But because he was there, somebody was there that I trusted. I was just afraid of everything. I became just paranoid about things that just did not exist. It was a very scary point in my life. That was probably the scariest. That was scarier than when I was sick before I created my freelancing career. And this was the time when actually being brave was getting help, taking care of myself, and then also having to tell some people that I really enjoyed working with that my mental health was not good. It's really embarrassing when you have to tell somebody in a professional standpoint, like, I can't work with you right now because I'm not the best version of myself. It was a very hard time because you usually try to keep like personal and professional, but because I try to work with my clients in a way where we can talk about, like, you know, how are you doing? How's the family? You know, I felt like there was a comfort level. Everyone was super understanding, but it was probably some of the scariest conversations I've had because I had to tell them that I couldn't do the work anymore, which was obviously then taking in less income. And then also kind of admitting that I was not my, you know, my best self, which is kind of, you know, a little defeating. So it was a all around bad situation. But through that, I kind of realized, you know, what is my upper limit? What can I handle? That, you know, therapy is okay. There shouldn't be a stigma around it. And I'm glad that mental health is slowly becoming a little bit more socially acceptable to talk about just casually. And that it was just a moment where, like, even though I felt like a failure, again, it was one of those things where in hindsight, I could say, like, you know, I was really brave in those moments because that was so frightening to have a breakdown, to have to call my parents and say, like, you know, like crying hysterically, can I stay with you for a while? Even though I'm like in my upper 20s, you know, this shouldn't be happening. I should be good and on my own. It was just a lot of moments of just like, but I'm in the end, I'm not afraid to share it. Some people would be like, well, you know, wouldn't this make you feel like you're sharing this story that you aren't a great entrepreneur? I'm like, no, like, I really think I'm good because now I know how to take care of myself and how to also do my work and how I function at my best so that I take on clients from a quality standpoint and not a quantity standpoint. So I think overall, it's just like a big journey of just like moments of just like, oh, well, okay, I was brave in that moment and I was lesson there and now I can do a better job, you know, with all of the lessons that I had to learn and fall on my face to learn.
Mm-hmm. Which is really important, like getting help, any type of help, support, whatever that looks like, isn't a failure. And the fact that you had to go back to your parents is kind of just like the universe being like, you got to take two steps back before you can get on the elevator that will skyrocket you to the 10th floor, mm-hmm. where before that wouldn't have happened, or like pull you back like an arrow before it launches. And I think that's really important because I know a lot of people who, especially this day and age with social media and stuff, feel like they have to keep up with the Joneses in some way and that they're having to check these boxes off to be considered successful, but they're not understanding what happens on the back end of it. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on that not everyone knows about. So it's important also to share that. And like you said, like it's created you to be a better entrepreneur and understand yourself better in a way for you to show up for your clients, where a lot of people would still be thinking they have to add more, keep doing more, and then they'll be happy or whatever it may be, which the if-then game everyone loses all the time.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's still honestly a process. Like, I recently had a conversation with a group that I'm involved in, and I was really vulnerable. And I was saying, like, I'm having a really hard time with certain things, like not putting myself out there, but I'm just afraid if I put myself out there too much, now I have this like basis of like, oh, I don't want to go back there. So sometimes I might not put myself out there enough. So it's, again, it's a new kind of, what do I have to work through now? Where do I have to potentially be, you know, put some fear aside and, you know, maybe rise above, just because now it's almost like that kind of like, oh, I don't want to get there again. Do I say yes? How do I do this? So it's kind of, I think the idea also could be, you know, in anything, again, corporate, freelancing, just your own life, your own personal life. Like, there's always going to be that next step, that bridge that you have to cross, and then you have to cross another bridge. And then, you know, I guess like life is just constantly just like another lesson, and it kind of stinks in a way when you think about it or when you say it, but when you think about it, it's kind of like, I feel always a lot better. The in-between is never fun, but I always feel a lot stronger on the other end, mm-hmm. having gone through those trials and tribulations, because then, you know, I can take to the next step, and I can have these conversations now, and hopefully I can, you know, my story or and all the other guests that you've had who have also been super inspirational with their own, you know, expressing their own stories. You know, we're all here kind of sharing, and I feel like I wouldn't be in this position had I not gone through all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
And plus, those lessons could probably be the same lesson at a different level. Because I know sometimes I have a self-doubt and worthiness thing. And when people look at me, they're like, what? I'm like, yes, I do. But thank you for that. Like, glad to see that you're not seeing it. But it's like, at each stage, it comes up. And it keeps coming up with like different things that I'm doing and wanting to expand on. And I'm just like, all right, cool. That's my universal lesson. But like you've said, like not wanting to go back there is because you've created this bandwidth and you've built up your self-confidence in a way like you can't go back to who you were because of all that pain and suffering, and it would dishonor who you are today. I mean, that's my viewpoint on it as well. Like for my own self, like I can't go back there. Like, no, I know what suffering is like back there. Like, no, I don't want that. As much as some days where I'm like, F. It was so much easier, but at the same time, I'm like, but was it really easier? Because you're in the middle of it, and you're kind of just like, when's the light showing?
Yeah. No, I think it's just one of those things, again, like, you can think like, oh, back then, when I had a lot more clients, I'd be like, oh, it was easier, I was making more money. Like, you kind of shift, like, what was more important, you know, what was easier, but what was harder? And you're like, okay, well, this is different now, but I feel a lot more in control. You know, like, I think it also, when you kind of evaluate those situations of like then and now, you can see like, what really is important to you, and like, and you know, it makes it easier for when you have those thoughts where you're like, ah, kind of like, what, you know, like it, back then it was a little bit easier to do like X, but like, was it really worth Y? You know, like, you know, Y being like your mental health or just like your emotional well-being or just anything, your self-worth. So I think sometimes, again, having those kind of like, but you're like, wait a second, pump the brakes. No, it was not easier. You know, even if it's solved, you know, it just wasn't solving the things that truly matter to me. And like, even if there's a little bit of struggle now, I still feel a lot more in control.
Yes. And I think that's a really good distinction about like, feeling a lot more in control. I think it's more of like you're a lot more in control of yourself. Like you understand yourself more and what's triggering you more. So you're able to be able to combat it, or also set yourself up for like, okay, if it's going to come, if I'm going to have this big wave of anxiety because I'm pushing myself to do more things, to become more visible. Because I've known, you said over the past year, you've spoken more and told your story more, and that's added some anxieties. But you are more aware of who you are. And I think that's where control comes from a lot of times for people, is when you don't understand yourself enough to be able to set yourself up for success. That's where you feel like you're out of control and like completely out of control.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is like, I feel like I'm more in control and I'm more in alignment. So Now I'm going to go like way back. So obviously my speaking and wanting to tell my story. Okay. So when I was in college, before I ended up doing marketing, communications, anything, the three things I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a psychologist and I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to care for people. I wanted to teach people. I wanted to, you know, be there and be a support system for people. So it's one of those things where, but I ended up just with a mix of many different kind of outside forces getting into communications, which I enjoy. I have a strong background in writing and communications in that instance, but it was like, then I focused, I think, too much on the business end, which obviously in freelancing and entrepreneurship, like that's fine. That is one sector in which I'm in, but in all of, and you know, I enjoy doing the work with my clients and I think that I do a good job, I hope, for, you know, but then with all of that, I took a lot off of that plate. And then I ended up, I enjoy speaking my story. I hope my story helps. And then it kind of brought me back to like, okay, this makes sense based on what I was really passionate about after, you know, before life comes in and then you need to find a job. And then all of the other things kind of happened. I was like, oh, this is very much so in alignment, because I'm like, I just want to share so that I can help people and know that they're like, so they could maybe hear their own story in my story and we can collectively kind of help each other out. So it was one of those things where it was just like, the light bulb went off and I was like, well, it seems like I'm on the right path, even though I have fallen on my face multiple times and probably look like a fool. But this seems to be definitely in alignment with like who you are. Cause I feel like when you're younger too, you have a lot more time to kind of like dream big until the real world hits you. And then you're like, oh, I have to pay my bills and I have to do this. And, you know, so, you know, back then it was like, yeah, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to be a nurse or a psychologist or a teacher. And I'm going to, you know, build people up. So I was kind of like, now I'm back here again.
The universe is interesting when it throws you different curveballs. You're kind of like, sometimes I'm like, WTF, like what? Like I was journaling today. And just free journaling and all of it. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, and also I enjoy tarot cards. And there's this one deck, like Luminology, that I just love it for whatever reason. But I haven't been going to it because a lot of consistently, one of the cards has been, your answers are coming. The end of a tough cycle is approaching. And I'm sitting here and I'm just like, just give me the goddamn answers already. Like what do I have to do to get the answers? Because I'm like, this card keeps coming up and I'm sitting here and I'm like, what now? But I'm dreaming about it. And it's kind of like one of those moments where it's like, you're getting like, lose control, whatever. It's fine. Okay. I am surrendering. And if I'm not surrendered, I am telling myself to surrender and eventually it will just come.
I know. And it's just that like waiting game. And again, I'm saying this now, a year from now, I might be like, I might, you know, see, you know, we'll hopefully see each other before then, but you know, I'll be like, you know, maybe what, you know, the whole psychology thing, I got thrown another curveball and now I'm here and you're always waiting, you know, and you're like, the answers are going to be there soon. Then you think that's the answer. And then all of a sudden something else, you're like, oh, is that the answer? Was this not the answer? And then you're constantly questioning it. But I think, you know, any sort of moment of like, aha, you know, is some sort of answer. So, I get that for
it's
sure.
Just like little baby, like aha moments, like you were talking about during this time where we're all social distancing and quarantining ourselves, as like learning different knowledge. Like there could just be something you learn over the next 2 weeks, or if it's longer, that you're just like, okay, I'm not happy with X. And now you get to change it. Now that you're aware of it, you get to take steps to change it. And maybe if this global interesting quarantine didn't happen, you wouldn't have been able to take the time to step back and be like, oh, okay.
Exactly. So. And you don't really, for example, that you wouldn't even think that that might be the answer. Like say, I'm just saying, I'm not going to assign that as your answer, but I'm just using that as an example of just that being maybe somebody out there's answer was just like, they needed that time to like, then have this even small little snippet of a thought, or they write something down, or they take the time to read like three extra sentences because they weren't rushing to work and just skimming through things, and that's their aha moment. Like it's just really weird how just these little mundane moments can turn into such like important, you know, impactful things, you know, in our lives. And just taking those few extra moments to be intentional could be the difference of just like getting to that answer that you're looking for. And this bad situation that we're in, you know, with a pandemic and quarantines and everything like that, is probably what a lot of people need. And definitely what the environment needs. I don't know, very quickly aside, but there's been pictures everywhere of just like clear water in Venice, and like the air quality is so much better. I'm like, this is a moment for like even Mother Nature to just be like, all right, I'm going to breathe a little bit easier now. So I think we're all just having a little moment right now, if there's a silver lining to all of this.
There's always a silver lining. But I want to go back a little bit and talk about, you know, what you went through and taking ownership about where you were at with your clients when you started to let the clients go and put your mental health first. Like, that is super brave, and having those tough conversations. So I'm interested in knowing, like, what you learned about yourself, or what you just learned in general from being brave to have a tough conversation and take ownership of being like, hey, something's got to change.
I think that one thing I learned is that most people will be receptive of it. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't exceptions to it, but I think when you treat people nicely and you try to do good work, they'll understand when something just isn't right. Like, I had, again, had to talk to multiple people. I had way too many clients at that time. I was just like, when I had to take the amount of calls, I was like, this is a bad idea. This was really not good. But all of them were really interested in making sure I was okay. A lot of them checked in on me just as if like they were my friend after that. Send me an email. They sent me a text message. They left me a voicemail. It was very much so a moment of like kindness that I wasn't expecting. You're expecting somebody to like throw the book at you and be like, how can you leave me hanging? And I also learned that you have to, so I didn't actually leave them hanging. I made sure to list other people that I knew that do the exact same work as me. So I gave them options and they were also very appreciative of it. So the other end of that was like, you can't just leave people hanging. You have to obviously offer them some sort of solution, even if they don't take it. So I learned that it's just, you can't just like walk away, because I wanted to, but I knew that that wasn't the right thing to do. And they had never done anything to me for, you know, any of that to be warranted. So it was, there's kindness, and then also just like learning to just always end on a good note too, because like they definitely have supported me since then and have checked in, and I'm still in contact now years later. And whenever there's something that comes up, they'll throw me something or they'll still refer me out, and I'll be like, yeah, I can take a client, or no, I'm booked up. So I definitely learned a lot on that end of things. For sure, which is one lesson I didn't expect, because again, I was so afraid to talk to my clients and just tell them like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I'm a literal mess right now. You don't want to see me. My eyes are puffy. I haven't slept in days. I probably, my hair is all frizzy, and that's just my physical look. You don't even want to, if you could look at my brain right now and my, you know, mental state, you probably want to run the other way. So, but none of them also treated it as a strike against me. They just knew it was things going on in my life that I just like couldn't control or I needed to work through. So I think that was also the last lesson, is like they didn't attach failure to me. They didn't think of me as a failure because I had that conversation with them. So again, like a lot of kindness, a lot less anger that I thought was going to happen. Actually, no anger. So it was just a very, it gave me the confidence to have harder conversations in the future, not the same type of conversations, but just gave me the confidence that like, as long as you present whatever it is that's going on and you have a solution for it, most people will be receptive of it. So I've used that skill in my personal life, in my professional life, just anything. I've just come with an honest approach and, you know, seen how the conversation has gone from there. And it's, again, except with the exception, you know, there's always an exception, but the rule basically has been everybody has been very much so accommodating,
which I think is really important in relationship building period, is like how much we, you know, have to have this tough conversation, whatever it may be, and we blow it up so much so in our minds, and then when it happens, it's completely different. Like, you've got a positive reaction from it. And I think that's also because you're being real with them in a world where being real and authentic is a dime a dozen. Like, mm-hmm. Not a dime a dozen, that means like too many, but you know what I mean? Like, it's rare. Mm-hmm. And so people flock towards that, which is something really important. And then also discussing about like the point of, you didn't leave your clients hanging. You brought them a solution, or figured out how to and amicably when a lot of people burn the boats. Granted, there are times where you just need to burn the boats and burn the bridges, mm-hmm. but there are a lot more times where that's not necessarily the case that you should do it. It could be you're overreacting and you just decide, well, F it, I'm just going to burn the bridge and do it spectacularly, and then realize later down the line you're just like, I shouldn't have done that. Like, yeah. if you did that, you wouldn't get referrals today either.
Yeah, so I just knew, like I said, nobody had done anything. A lot of what I was going through in my freelancing entrepreneurship, it was more of me neglecting myself than somebody treating me badly. So I had to approach it as that. I had to, you know, as I don't want to use the word irrational because I don't, it has kind of a negative connotation, but as irrationally as I was thinking, just from lack of sleep and lack of, you know, lack of anything at that point, it was just a puddle on the ground. I still had to kind of pull myself at least enough together to have like those conversations that were the who, what, where, when, and why almost of what was happening. I just stuck to the facts in a very, you know, calm, hopefully calm way. And, you know, again, offered them like what I could do, you know, how we could end this, you know, I can finish this last project and then I can give you this person's email address or so on and so forth. But it was just, yeah, it was definitely a moment of just like, kind of, it's like that I've seen online. It was like those memes where it's like, oh, I put this thing off for 6 months and it took me 15 minutes to do it. It was one of those lessons where I was like so afraid to do it. And I was like having heart palpitations as I was already probably having heart palpitations from just my anxiety in general at that point. And then I realized it wasn't so bad. So again, that's kind of what I mean. I still have moments where I have such bad anxiety. But I carry that with me that like, okay, I had these conversations these times and it wasn't that bad. So let's continue to do it the way that we've done it, you know, and see how, you know, happens, you know, what happens with this conversation. So it, again, it's kind of one of those long game things with bravery. Again, like something that happened way back then is kind of paying off now when I see those conversations happening.
And plus, it's a great tool to weed people out. So say you have a client and you go to them now and you get a negative reaction, like whatever it may be, like they come back at you at anger and say like, whatever, you have to do this because you're anyways, then you know, like never again will you work with this person. And then you're less likely to even want to refer other people to work with them to get projects done if you weren't able to finish them for them.
Exactly. I think it's a beneficial, you know, all around. It definitely allows me to just kind of see. I try to be like, as you know, in my personal life with my friends and everything, I try to be accommodating and I try to be as friendly and authentic as possible. Yeah, I'm a terrible liar. So I guess it's like what you see is what you get with me because I just, it's just not in my nature. But yeah, it's one of those things where if there's just somebody that I don't jive well with, it's a really, I would like to say it's a rare case. I tend to really like everybody. It's a good indicator because then you really have to be at like some level for me to just be like, ooh, yeah, you make me uncomfortable. We should probably not do this. This isn't going to end well. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And it shows you like a great boundary line. Like even though you've had anxiety all your life and you've had these lessons where you feel like you failed, it's somehow in a way the universe is showing you it's like these are your boundary lines, whether you realized it or not. And if you didn't go through the things, you wouldn't know what you were available for and what you weren't available for.
Agreed. And I can even look back to, you know, when I was a kid and seeing moments where I was just like, maybe being young and not noticing what I was doing or like working through a situation. But then I realized, you know, like maybe I didn't say yes to the sport because like I was overwhelmed already, or I did, you know, I just wasn't jiving well with somebody or something like that. Like I was creating these little boundaries all my life. And I used to think of them, you know, me, you know, in another life, what if I played soccer, or what if I took that job after school that, you know, would have probably had me working way too many hours for being a full-time high school student, or you know what I mean? It's just like, but in my mind, I think like I wasn't doing it to be a quitter. I think I was, you know, maybe because I have a higher anxiety level, I'm more like, you know, I'm just trying to build up a sustainable life. And I was trying, and I was testing those boundaries. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. but like in hindsight, I've been trying to be a little bit more introspective. And I was like, like maybe I said no to those moments. Like, why am I saying no to these moments now as an adult? Like, maybe I was doing the same thing as a kid. And at that point, it kind of, I didn't have enough life to look back on to say like, oh yeah, well, I said yes to these things. I just didn't say no to everything. I just said no to maybe things that weren't in alignment with who I was at that time. Or, you know, maybe I was picking up on something that, you know, I just wasn't, you know, it was, there was a discomfort there, or it wasn't a good fit. So, you know, it's kind of interesting being an adult and looking back and being like, maybe you just weren't doing that because you were just, I mean, maybe there was anxiety involved. Maybe I was just being an anxious kid and I just was afraid to fail in front of people. But I think another part of it was just like, because I'm like, I said yes to this, but I said no to that. So what made me say yes to this, but no to that in, you know, hindsight, whether it was, you know, an after school job or something else.
And I think that's also like really important that you bring up being in alignment. Like a lot of people, whether they have anxiety or not, whatever, they're doing things out of alignment, so therefore it's harder for them to feel like they are successful and feeling like a failure most of the time because they don't realize that they're out of alignment. But your anxiety, like looking at it as a good thing, has shown you to go in and ask yourself, like, is this really something I want to be doing, and sifting through that instead of being like, I'm just going to try everything and see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, there's, I wish that in a way, and this is kind of one of those things like where I'm always just wishing I could just be a little bit better. I wish sometimes I could be a little bit more like, yeah, let's just do it. I'm a little bit more calculated in how I approach things. But I feel like I've taken enough risks in my life that I'm not just completely on one side of it. I feel like there's a balance. And again, what's something is in alignment. And again, sometimes I don't know if it's in alignment, you know, it's a guess. Maybe it was, who knows? I don't know. My mind's all over the place all the time anyways. But I just feel like, I used to think of my anxiety as fully like a curse, but now I kind of look at it as like a gift, or at least a tool that I can then gauge. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, is this just like new job jitters? I'm just going to use that. Or is this like full-fledged anxiety? Am I missing something in this whole situation? So, and I've kind of learned through trial and error, like what I should really put my focus in on and what I shouldn't. And then of course, through therapy, but for therapy. And again, just so if anybody's still like, oh, I should definitely, you know, if you need that, there's no shame.
No, there isn't any shame in therapy. It's a profession for a reason. It's been a profession for how long? Like, there shouldn't be really that much stigmatism behind it, because how I think of it now about how I'm growing and building my own business and building this podcast and getting support and all of that, I'm like, okay, there's this phrase we've all heard at one point in our lives, it takes a village. Mm-hmm. Okay. It never stops taking a village. Like, you can't go anywhere without the support of people behind you. Sure, maybe you can get to the top faster, but as we've all known, if you're at the top by yourself, it's not that much fun.
No, it really is not. It's really lonely. And I mean, like, even going back to the event we were at together, still standing, there were so many, even, you know, we were in the same room and you were, you know, very open and you were sharing your own stories and everything like that. And everybody else, you know, we were all chiming in and it was collective and everybody brought something. And again, it was a village, almost a little room. We would be a really cool village if we all lived in a village together. Cool people. But you know, it was just like a lot of people offering insight, and then, you know, one person's, you know, you were there, you know, somebody else spoke up, and then it was quickly like, you know, somebody offering another type of, you know, suggestion or comment or just kind of like anecdotal story of their own. And it's just like, that just seems so much more collective and enjoyable than just, again, just, you know, you can rise a lot faster if you're by yourself. But so who do you talk to then? Who do you share stories with? Who do you share, you know, experiences and, you know, any sort of help with? Like, I'd rather just rise together, even if it took a little longer.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like sharing like different stories about like what you've gone through, what's up for you. By doing that, you are opening yourself up to get ideas that you probably didn't think about before. Because even though you're thinking about like whatever situation it is that you're feeling like a failure, you're so close to it that by speaking it out, sometimes you take that closeness away and you hear yourself speak. And then you're kind of like, well, that's actually not what I think or how I want to be feeling anymore. Because I do this all the time. I'm like, I need a sounding board, and I will stop mid-sentence or mid-thought about whatever it is, and I'll be like, that's dumb, I'm over it. And the person would look at me, they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, because I heard myself think, I heard what I was saying, and I'm just like, that's dumb. But also, when you share, you don't know who around you has been through something similar and could give you an idea of what to try.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that that's, and again, kind of, I'm just, you know, even with like therapy or mental health or anything like that, like I would go into my local, finally one time I was just brave enough to kind of just say like, I'm not actually going to a meeting. I'm actually going to therapy. Cause I used to use like, oh, I have a meeting, and I would always cover it up. But then I finally was like, oh, I have therapy actually. And the person was like, I don't know. I mean, at this point I wasn't like friends with this person. They were a barista at, you know, my local coffee shop, and they're like, oh yeah, I go to therapy too. And it was just like one of those things where you're like, oh, okay, all right, I'm actually gonna like not say it's a meeting anymore, you know. So it, one of those things where just like talking and then just even hearing somebody give you kind of like that, okay, like you can be, you know, a little bit more, you know, you can tell me people that you're going to therapy, like makes you feel better. Or, you know, when I'm saying something, they're like, oh, I went through something similar. Or, oh yeah, I had the same exact experience with, you know, XYZ. And then you're like, oh, I'm not the only one. It's just kind of interesting when you finally like open up, whether, you know, it's your work or your personal life, so on and so forth. It's just like, oh, we all kind of have the same experiences. Maybe the, you know, the characters are a little different and the circumstances and how we react to it might be different because we're all individuals, but we've generally, I feel like you typically end up with, you know, if you are open, you'll probably hear a similar story being sent back to you, and you're like, oh, well, you did it that way. I never thought of it like that. Huh? You know, and then you leave with this whole new appreciation for a different way of viewing something. It's just amazing. Like being open and authentic and just really bring so much like a wealth of information and support and clarity. Just a lot of good, even if the situation was not good during it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's really important. Like mm-hmm. a lot of good comes from you speaking your truth and taking ownership of it than not.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, shifting gears into our final questions, because we have so much more on this, especially during this time, where can everyone find you?
You can, I have my website right now. It's kind of just a portfolio page. It's sardegeorge.com. So sardegeorge.com. And you can feel free to email me at sardegeorge@gmail.com. Those are my two best ways to kind of follow me at this point. I have an Instagram. I haven't updated it since November. So, I mean, unless you want to see my trip to Asheville, North Carolina from November and wonder where I've been since then, you can find me at just Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, to George on Instagram. But I'm happy to talk about entrepreneurship as a concept, just like share stories, share any insights I have with, you know, any listeners. And if anybody has any digital marketing questions, sure, why not too?
All right, awesome. What's a book, resource, podcast that has been valuable to you that you would suggest to the audience?
Good question, and it's not in front of me right now. I'm trying to think. This is going to sound maybe, I really like stuff by Brené Brown. I know a lot of people read Brené Brown. I don't have a specific book. I think that if you read all of her books collectively, you'll get a nice full story of maybe different things that you might be going through. Cause like Daring Greatly is a little bit different than like, I'm going to mess it up, Through the Wilderness or Getting Out of the Wilderness. they're all different in their content, but I find that collectively they're very inspirational. So I've been, and I also watched recently her Netflix special that she had, or that was put on Netflix. I know it's an older special, but it was, I needed to hear it during that time. So I think that, you know, any book by Brené Brown would be helpful.
So it's a great resource, especially especially since she talks about vulnerability a lot, which is one of my favorite subjects.
I think that's just kind of like the connection. But like I said, with every book being a little bit different, it kind of like, I feel like I've found her next book. I never actually buy her books. I wait for them to show up at the library, and they always seem to show up at the right time when I'm feeling it. So it's kind of like one of those surrendering, trusting the universe kind of things. Cause I, you know, it would have felt different if I read it at a different time. So anyways.
All right, Sarah, I know you've mentioned this a lot, but what would you define as your bravest moment?
I think it was definitely, I know I talked about it, but when I decided to go to therapy, and I bring it up, but it was one of those things where I put it off for so many years. And there have been many instances where I just needed to talk to somebody. And I was just like, no, no, it's okay. And elementary school, high school, middle school, high school, college, and finally hitting that limit and saying like I needed to, like I had to go through so much just to find my therapist, who I really love. So and I haven't had that experience in my entire life. I think that was a really brave moment, just because that was me admitting that I needed somebody else to perhaps hold my hand for a little while and guide me through, and I didn't have the control anymore, and I had to release it as well and be okay with that.
That is a very brave moment. And the final question, what is your definition of brave?
I think my definition of brave is being true to yourself, even if it doesn't quite fit into what society wants you to be. So again, whether, you know, there's just moments where, you know, you have to be like, no, again, I could have, for myself, I could have taken that job in high school, but I was like, this just doesn't feel right. Even though my parents were probably like, you need that job. But then I would ultimately always find something that I would stick with, just might've been a little bit, you know, or freelancing. My parents were like, hey, you want a 9 to, or, you know, my parents and other people, I don't want to just blame them. They're going to listen to the podcast and they're going to be like, what? You know, and other people were like, oh, why don't you, you know, you need to get a job even if you're not feeling well. And I was like, okay, well, let me do this a little bit differently, even though, you know, it wasn't necessarily what the people around me thought was, you know, sustainable or whatever at the time. So felt like those moments were really being brave, just kind of like following, you know, whatever that inner intuition is, even if all the noise around you is telling you differently.
I love that definition. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story, and showing other people what it looks like to take like ownership and be vulnerable with where you're at, and reach out to let people know that you need help, even though at the time you didn't feel brave. I think that's something that needs to be honored, because a lot of people don't do that, and a lot of people don't give themselves permission to do that. So thank you so much.
Of course. And thank you for creating this platform. Like, it's really helped me through just like listening to other podcasts and just learning from you and from others. And then just, I it's a wealth of information. So I appreciate this platform existing just as a listener, and obviously now being on it as a guest. So I appreciate you having me on.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.